When I was at the men's retreat a couple of weeks ago, one of the leaders made a statement that got everybody's attention. He said, "The sin that is not confessed is not healed. The sin that is not confessed is not healed." And he was trying to make application to the verse of James chapter 5, where God's word says, "Confess your sin to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Now we come to Christ to know the forgiveness of sins. In fact, he won that forgiveness for us at the cross. "Oh, precious is the flow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." So we confess our sin to God to know forgiveness. And often we confess our sin to one another to experience the forgiveness that God has offered to us as a free gift. So if there's a burden on your back that you would be in need of another Christian to help lift through their prayer, through their listening, through their friendship and fellowship, God makes provision in His Word by giving us clear direction. Confess your sin to one another so that you might be healed. When we confess our sin to one another, we're saying, "If you put me down on your prayer list." That's the kind of help that you and I need. If you're going to put me down on your prayer list. And Christ loves us 100%. He gives us things in His Word to help us know Him better, to help us walk with Him in a healthy way. He don't put things down willy-nilly just to, see if we could do them. Behind every promise and direction, there's a setting free of our heart to Christ. So this is a gospel verse, you might say. Confess your sin to one another that you might be healed. It goes along with a whole bunch of other one another verses in the Bible. Love one another. Encourage one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. Although all those verses were called to bear one another's burdens. It's in the context of restoration ministry. We'll talk about that in a little bit. If there's a burden on my back of sin or difficulty, and I talk to God about it, and He gives me some assurance, but then I talk to you about it, you're bearing that burden with me. All of a sudden it's lighter. All of a sudden I taste the goodness of Christ again because of what a fellow Christian has done in terms of listening and praying and those kind of things. So it's a very powerful practice that God puts in our life. There's models of that in the Bible, Old and New Testament both. The following people confess their sin to one another, to others, sometimes publicly, sometimes one-on-one. Isaiah, when he saw God, was holy, holy, holy. You know, we sang that a bit, the first part of service. He knew his need. He said, "Woe is me, I need forgiveness." He confessed publicly. We have the record of a lot of people confessing their sin publicly in the Scriptures. Probably, fortunately, you and I don't have that, as a part of our background. If we confess our sin to somebody, it doesn't end up in the church bulletin next week. But these guys, when they confessed their sin, it was in the Scripture for all time to give encouragement to people like you and me to turn to Christ and to do the same. Isaiah did it. Nehemiah did it right before a big project of building the walls of Jerusalem. Daniel did it when he knew his people were in trouble. He said, "I confess my sins and the sins of my people." David did it in the Psalms frequently. Peter did it often when he would turn away from the Lord. Paul did it as a part of his testimony. He said that God used me as an example of what Christ can do. I am the chief of sinners. Probably each one of us, as God works in our heart, would probably say that about ourselves. Would say, "I'm the chief of sinners." God can reach us. He can reach Paul. He can reach everybody. And so to confess our sin to one another is often a part of our testimony. Don't you get encouragement and turn to Christ yourself when you hear a testimony? And maybe as a part of that testimony, the man or gal says, "I struggled with this in my life. I didn't know God, didn't care about God. And yet there was forgiveness there in Christ." Man, our faith is strengthened. We don't want to hear, I was pretty good, and And Jesus, just help me be a little bit better. That doesn't give glory to God. You know, it's a heart that's broken and shares about God's goodness. If I was in trouble and if I had debts I could not pay and you gave me $1 billion. Any amens this morning? But if I had debts I couldn't pay, there was no way I was going to pay them. And I continue to accumulate debts on a fairly regular basis. But you gave me $1 billion. Wouldn't I tell of that? Wouldn't I say, you should saw the trouble I had, and you should have seen how my friend paid for my debts. Oh, Lord, forgive me my debts, as I would forgive others. Boy, that would be a part of the good news that I would want to tell. And as we, as God leads our heart to confess our sin to one another, we point again to the forgiveness of Christ and how we're clean in Him. And so here's some examples of how people confess their sin to one another in church history. And you could put it into practice as God leads your heart to do that. You want to obey what the good word says. Acts chapter 19, God was working in a church called Ephesus, pretty healthy church. And the Bible says the name of the Lord was held in high honor. It goes on to say, many who believed in Christ now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. So when God was really moving in people's hearts, people said, I believe in Christ, and these are the things He's going to help me with. These are the things that are wrong in my life. Those who had private sins confessed them privately, maybe one-on-one. Those who had public lifestyle away from God confessed publicly. And God was honored, and God worked in that town. It was a sign of God's renewal among the people. God can help us with that. In the 1500s, Martin Luther said this. He said, if your sins burden you like a heavy weight on your back, go to God and go to another Christian and accept what they have to say as if God Himself were communicating with you through that person. I've had that experience, and I hope you have. Maybe you have it in your own family. When you feel a burden of sin and not just right, you don't feel right with God, you share that with another person, another Christian who's mature, and they share something back. It's like God talking to you right there. Maybe they share a scripture or something. But that's what Martin Luther found. John Wesley, when he used to get folks together a couple times a week to meet and pray, he said this, two or three times a week, confess your faults to one another and pray for each other. That was to be something they grew into and learned how to do. Warren Wiersbe, a simple Bible teacher, said the meaning of this verse is a continuous practice. He said the literal meaning is make it a habit to confess your sins to one another. Make it a habit, a lifestyle. And Henry Blackaby said this, confession is God's provision to clear obstacles between you and God and between you and others. Confession is a command given to every Christian. Confess to one another. Don't confess just to a clergy person. See, a pastor or a clergy is a one another. But it's not just limited that you got to go tell, you know, a pastor. A pastor's willing. And it's very humbling to me if somebody says, here's a problem I have. And I need God's help to know forgiveness and to turn a corner. Nobody ever came out away from me beat up, but rather pointed to Christ, and other believers do the same. Blackaby went on to say, there's tremendous freedom that comes when we openly acknowledge the sinfulness of our own actions to others. Tremendous freedom. And I think the easiest place to start to practice this is in your own family, which hopefully you do on a regular basis. Don't we teach our children, when they do wrong, come and say, I did wrong. I am sorry. That was a sin. I will do differently. Isn't it healthy when they do that and mom or dad see that and they say, well, God is working. You know, and the same thing can be for all of God's children with each other and toward the Lord. Not to make excuse, not to attack. I didn't do my homework. I was wrong. That was a sin. I'll get right to it. You know, confession of sin takes away excuse making. Well, the teacher was this way. Well, Mom and Dad, I'm sure you didn't do all your work today. You know, we do a lot of things, but God said, confess sin to one another, that there could be change, that there could be healing. And it's the wise, godly husband who says to his wife on a regular basis, I was wrong. That was a sin. And I can do that differently. When you were talking, I was not listening. That is ignorant behavior. And there's opportunity for change right away. It's the wise and godly wife that says, I was wrong when I said bad words to you, you know, about you or about this or that. And God brings healing. God brings closeness and good communication when people allow the Holy Spirit to sweep their own house. And then they're free to walk with Him in a great way. Confess your sin one to another that you might be healed. And confession often opens the door for repentance. What are the benefits of confessing sin to one another? One is knowing fellowship with Christ Himself when we do that. And this is a very special thing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that. He said, when you confess your sin to another Christian, you experience the presence of God in the other person. And I've had that time, many a time. You know, even if you actually, when you're confessing your sin, you're really talking about a problem. And isn't it good to talk about, I have this problem, it's too big for me. And you're getting it off your soul. And then you're in the presence of somebody who loves you, hopefully as a fellow believer, is kind. He wants to point you to Christ. He or she wants to point you to Christ. And good things happen when people confess their sin to one another. Even if you can't find anybody, you go to any growing Christian you know. You're wise when you do this. You don't want to confess sin to those who you know have a problem with gossip. Unless you want to have public confession and everybody knows anyway. Go to those who you know. Hey, they'll hold it in confidence. Even I know Christians who would go to a Christian counselor, when you go to that other Christian, and any Christian is a bit competent to counsel, you go to another, or you go to a Christian counselor, you're saying things about a sin problem. That person, they're going to accept you 100%. They're not going to throw guilt at you. They're going to point you to Christ, and they're going to equip you to walk out a new person, tasting the love and forgiveness of Jesus. You'd say, man, I'd pay $100 for that. Well, you can, if it need be. Or you could just save $100, practice it with other mature believers who you know have the heart of Christ. And God works in those times. Second benefit, God is glorified when we say, I need Christ's help with this sin. And with His help, I can repent. Achan did that. Joshua said, Achan, glorify God. Tell me what you did. And Achan told. And God dealt with Achan very, very severely. But there was a health that came in spite of the painful thing of facing what needed to be faced. God is glorified when you confess your sin to others. And third thing that often happens, when you and I confess our sin to one another, we participate in the ministry of restoration. Restoration is when something's broken, God comes, makes it stronger. And the Bible does tell us, it says, if anybody has a sin, you who are spiritual, here's your job, restore such a one, so that you might have health again. And look to yourself so you don't fall. Carry each other's burdens. And there's nothing like a ministry of restoration when God's Holy Spirit says, go and tell another and get that person to pray for you. And know that what is said is between the person and the Lord and you. And what confidence you have. Now you have a prayer partner. And you could do that with family, and you could do it with any trusted friends. Let God build the relationship. And wouldn't it be a blessing to you if somebody came and said, would you pray for me about this? I have this sin problem. You know, and any go through any of the commandments. Don't know how to honor mom and dad. Or my mind is filled with excitement about everything except God. I got this idolatry problem, whatever it is. And if you go to a mature Christian, they're not going to go, well, I don't know. I can't relate to that at all. You know, they're going to say, Jesus can change that activity. Jesus died for that. And pretty soon you hear about the grace of God, one-to-one. And your soul is set free. And even if the person you're sharing and the restoration is a little difficult or awkward, I've had this experience. Let's say you share a problem with somebody or a sin, and they don't sympathize or empathize very much. They're kind of like, you better straighten out. You know, you really messed up. Even if they can't sympathize or empathize, you'll be wanting to show mercy to them. They just can't understand. That's okay. And by showing mercy to them, you'll be glad to be open to know some mercy from God for your own heart. Otherwise, you'll become dueling Pharisees. You know what a dueling Pharisee is? That's when one guy says, you got a lot of problems, don't you? And the other guy turns back and says, I can see a lot of your problems too, buddy. And then there's no experience of forgiveness that takes place because of that. Carry each other's burdens. And as you do that also, you help deliver the church from legalism. And the person and grace of Christ starts to be the strongest part of that church. Wouldn't that be tremendous? People say, there's a lot of things going on at the church, but the strongest part of the church is Jesus and what he's doing in the people's lives. Let's see. That's good news. We begin to practice Matthew chapter 7 at that point. There's a man who comes to another Christian and he's not sure how to handle sin in his life. Let's say he has a temper. He gets vulgar and he gambles out of greed and he looks at pornography every day. He says, I confess to God. I know he forgives, but I need help with this. So he goes to another person. He confesses to another trusted Christian brother. And the brother's listening, and he said, I can't relate to any of those sins, but I know I'm very selfish. And when I eat, I overeat 3 times a day. You know, so he has a big log in his eye of being self-indulgent. And the guy with the log in his eye is able to get the speck out of the eye of the other brother who really wanted help. And they taste the goodness of God for both of them. And they walk away knowing God's mercy. Oh, precious is the flow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because they see it and they hear it put into practice by another believer. How great God can be. And then confessing sin to others rights. You might say, one man put it this way, writes the sin that we have in the sand where the wind of God can blow it away. And remember when Jesus was confronted by the lady who was caught in adultery and was brought before him, and he started to write in the sand. And whatever we write in the sand is going to be not there for too long. We don't know what he wrote in the sand, but whatever he wrote, he did not write her sin on a rock and say, look at this. You know, he didn't write her sin on her heart and say, now you're stuck with that the rest of your life. He didn't write the sin on her back to be a heavyweight or put a scarlet letter on her forehead and say, now that's you. That's the sum total of your life. He wrote on the ground. See, and whatever he wrote in the sand, it was going to be gone very soon by the grace of God. And if you, Jesus would say, he'd say, if you are weary and burdened with any sin problem, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Often we come to Christ with the aid of another Christian. Isn't that a humble thing? We go directly to Christ, but often we have the experience of the aid of another Christian. Points us to the love of God, the mercy of God, the good news of Christ, repentance, maybe holds us accountable. We say, wow, isn't the hand and heart of Jesus wonderful for giving us that opportunity? Would you obey God's voice this morning? And as a lifestyle, as Warren Wiersbe said, make it a practice to confess your sin to one another. As a part of your testimony to lost people, make it a practice to confess your sin and say, this is how Jesus helped me. Your testimony will have great credibility. Confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. And may God be honored as we follow Him with His help, His wisdom, the openness that He would bring. Healthiest families do this often. Healthiest believers do this often. So go with the peace and courage of God as we do. Let's stand and we'll sing to the Lord.